The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey everyone, how's it going? Hopefully you are getting set to start your weekend off and start it off right with us, the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. I am with John Sheeran, and as always, I'm Anthony Cosenza. John, you're, as I said before we took the air, you're looking pretty, for those of you who can see John, he's looking pretty festive in that shirt there. He's got a big wedding weekend ahead of him. How are you, bud?
Yeah, we're just starting off the weekend strong with some questions and answers. Let's get right to it, man.
Yeah, we've already got a lot queued up. I think John's going to start us off with one here in just a second. But just so you folks know, there are a number of ways to get us a question if you want to get that answered on air. We are simultaneously streaming on the Cincy Jungle Facebook page and our YouTube channel. So we'll be scouring both of those comment sections for potential questions, comments that we want to address. You can get to us in our email account, theobinsider@gmail.com. You can get to us on Twitter @BengalsObI. And then we have a live comment thread also on cincyjungle.com. So get to us how you can. We've already got a number of things queued up. Also, if you want to call or text us, our line is open, 949-542-6241. We've already got a couple of things lined up there. So, Johnny, start us off, buddy.
All right. So our first question comes from Spurman 1313 from Canada via Twitter. He says, when and what would it take for Zach Taylor to give Ryan Finley a shot at starting at quarterback? So right now, the Bengals are two games out of the division, for if you can really believe that, 5 weeks in. I don't think that Finley is seeing the first snap of the game until they are officially out of playoff contention. And until they're basically like, okay, we're officially in evaluating for 2020 mode. If Andy Dalton is taking even more of a beating behind a bad offensive line, I think that's still ways away until this team really feels like this season has officially been lost. Because right now to them, like, they're still technically in contention for the division, and Andy Dalton gives them the best chance of doing that or competing for the division. So I think we're still ways away from seeing Finley starting.
I do too. I think that this is I think it's going to take an Andy Dalton injury for Ryan Finley to get in there, because I really think that the Cincinnati Bengals, if they're going to invest a lot of money into Andy Dalton going forward, which that may not be music to a lot of Bengals fans' ears right now, but if they are going to do that, he is going to be a part of this evaluation process going forward, and they're going to need to see, both as Zach Taylor develops as a play caller, as a head coach, as an offensive mind, and how he's gelling with Andy Dalton's strengths, are going to need to get a proper evaluation on Andy Dalton throughout the rest of the year to see, you know, is he the guy, you know, is he going to play better at the end of the year? Is he going to give them hope into seeing that this team is going to be competitive and or vie for a playoff spot down the line once these guys are healthy, once they add more pieces, all that stuff. Again, that's probably more the front office's mindset than ours. But I think it's going to take an injury to Andy Dalton in order for that to probably take place. In terms of Finley getting extensive time, or, you know, I mean, even in blowouts, John, Finley hasn't come in relief to play some games. So I think it's going to take probably, and of course I don't wish it on him, but it's probably going to take an injury to Andy Dalton for this to potentially take place. There's another one coming up here. We can just be kind of quick about this. This was an email from Patrick Esther. What's up with Cordy Glenn and the chances his season is done? He's not playing again this week. There are reports that he was going to a third-party neurologist to get a different kind of reading and set of treatment on this concussion issue that's been lingering now, John, for what, 2 months?
Yeah.
So as of now, if you've missed six games and really, you know, seven and a half, if you include the preseason, with a concussion, that usually signals to me that you're not going to suit up this year. If you're missing a month plus with a concussion, that's usually not a good sign. So I, at this point, I'm probably not expecting him back.
Yeah, it's like right now it's above 50% chance, I would say, that he doesn't play for the rest of the year. And every game, every week that he continually misses, that percentage only goes up. Now, he's been limited, I think, now twice for the past couple weeks with just a single practice to just slowly easing him back in. And if he continues to not make significant progress with that, if they continue on this regimen that he's on right now and he's not participating fully in practice, there's no confidence that we can have that he's even going to play this year at all. And with the way that the season's going, it's probably not really a point to do so. I think he's under contract for one more year after this. And yeah, they're just going to have a conversation between, you know, him and the team about, okay, what's really the long-term plan here going forward? If this is an issue that is going to keep you out the entire year, this is really something long-term that we have to start thinking about. But yeah, the more he misses, the more chance that he just doesn't play the rest of this year.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's a player that was sorely needed. Whether or not Jonah Williams was going to be healthy this year, that's a player that they could have used at left guard, at left tackle, and it has shown. So unfortunately, Cordy Glenn just probably I'm not banking on him playing, so I don't think fans good either. Jason in Germany, there's an email, and we'll let you tee one off next, John. Jason in Germany, he's a regular listener. Unfortunately, when we record in his time zone, I don't think he's able to join us for the live recordings, but he does keep in touch with us and watches our show regularly. So thanks, Jason. This is not what you wanted. In terms of offensive line configuration, the Bengals have been experimenting with Alex Redmond, of all players, now that he's back from suspension. Alex Redmond at left tackle. He's rotating around with John Jerry. Andre Smith's injury is continuing on. So it looks to be an Alex Redmond, John Jerry battle at left tackle going forward. Jerry actually played for him okay against Arizona. Mm-hmm. It was at a higher level than what we saw from Andre Smith the couple of weeks prior. But I mean, I guess the question here from Jason is, you know, viability of him at left tackle, and why are the Bengals not going after a street free agent, maybe a cast off former high pick that hasn't performed up to expectations, and maybe rehabilitate his career like they did with Adam Jones, Chris Crocker, all these guys that they've done before.
Yeah, it's like I think it was said that the last time Redmond played tackle was in high school. So he's 24 years old and he hasn't played the position in at least 6 years. So you already know he's not a very good guard. And to move him out into even more space where pass protection is even more valuable as a tackle, the thing that he's not very good at in relative to how he run blocks, it's a bad situation. And I think Redmond has always been the guy that they love having on the team just as a practice player, just because he's, you know, he has the mindset or whatever. He has all the intangibles that coaches rave about. When he gets on the field, the product is less than stellar. And to play him out of position now, there's just no reason to be optimistic about it. And he can perform adequately in practice against a subpar, you know, Bengals pass rushing unit that they have right now, at least the ones who are healthy. Like, that's fine. But even against a team in the Ravens who don't really have that go-to edge rusher, like, he's going to be overmatched because this is not a position that's natural to him. And he's just not a very good football player in general. So, my thing is, if they're really trying him here, if they're really trying him at left tackle, they're just basically leaving no stone unturned. They're trying to evaluate every player they can possibly do. I don't think personally he's the better option over John Jerry, but if they really are committed to him, at least trying him out there at left tackle, I think that's just, it's just their part of evaluating where the roster is right now. And if there is an opening on the offensive line, and there's an offensive lineman who hasn't played for them this year, they're basically taking advantage of the opportunity to see how he does and just evaluating him going forward.
And one thing's for sure, we can be certain that either Alex Redmond himself or his stepdad, father-in-law, whoever it is, will probably be tuning into this, and we'll be hearing about our bagging on him because it's happened before. I am sick of the Bengals personally with the offensive line. They have done this for years, whether it was Paul Alexander, Jim Turner, Frank Pollock, whoever. I am sick of them putting round pegs into square holes in terms of fitting players that are not, you know, they try and find this versatility gene that does not exist in some of these players, and they try and force it upon them. And it usually, John Jerry at left tackle, for instance, I mean, you have two guards vying for the left tackle spot on your offensive line right now. One was an undrafted free agent, and the other guy was a guy who wasn't even in the league last year. That's how bad the situation has gotten on the offensive line for the Bengals. Hey, if Redmond can come in and do something, fine. But I'm not expecting anything there, and this just shows the sad shape of what the offensive line looks like for the Bengals right now.
Yeah, what that all boils down to is if you had asked Zach Taylor what his fifth option at left tackle would be, he probably wouldn't have said it was on the roster. So right. This is just kind of where we are right now. I want to go to the YouTube comments section because something came up really early. Continuing on the injury bug from Malcolm Wilhelm, is Dunlap's injury serious? And what he's referring to is Carlos Dunlap will not be playing in this game versus Baltimore. He's dealing with a knee injury that limited him in practice on Thursday and kept him out of practice today on Friday. And he was like the one surprise declaration of out going into this game. To be honest with you, I think he was dealing with knee injury going into the Pittsburgh game, but it didn't stop him from playing. I think he was limited a little bit last week, but obviously he played against Arizona. And honestly, Dunlap has not been his normal self this year. He's been borderline average in terms of pass rushing production. Again, relative to what the Bengals have on the defensive line and how they're producing, he's still one of their best players, but and his absence is going to hurt. But we're not seeing the old Carlos Dunlap that we have, and maybe that's because he's been dealing with a nagging knee injury. So the fact that he went from full to limited to did not practice this week is indeed concerning, and is a reason why he's not playing this game. But you know, until we see more, you know, progressing into next week, I don't know if you want to label the injury serious, but again, this is a Bengals player dealing with an injury, so we have to assume it's worse than what it is.
This is something that is overlooked in Dunlap's career. You know, you look at his statistics. He's the team's. I mean, once the NFL started counting sacks as an official statistical category, he's the team leader in sacks. He set the season record with 13.5 in 2015, but you go back, John, he was in Marvin Lewis's doghouse as a rookie in 2010, still played 12 games. 2011, played 12 games. 2012, played in 14 games. From 2013 through 2018, played 16 games every year. And then also including, you know, in those seasons, playing in the playoffs. So he has been his greatest asset has been, aside from batting balls at the line and, you know, the occasional sack and whatnot, one of his greatest traits is availability. And he's been a picture of durability with this team. So seeing him out is a very rare sight. And, of course, now he's on the very back nine of his career, a knee injury late in his career. I don't feel so great about that. But, you know, unfortunately, he'll be unavailable this week in a critical division game. And, you know, he's been a picture of health for the most part in his career. So seeing him out is a little bit of a downer. Again, yeah, go ahead.
Because he's out, now you have only Sam Hubbard and Carl Lawson as your true edge defenders. And you're playing Andrew Bryan and Rennell Wren more on the edge now, two positions that they're not very comfortable with. So, you know, his absence with their lack of depth, it compounds on the issue, if you will.
Yeah, and no Kerry Wynn either this week. He's still dealing with his concussion. So there's this concussion thing is making its rounds on the Bengals here. He's John Sheeran. I'm Anthony Cazenza. This is the listener questions courtesy of the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast and CincyJungle.com. You get to, if you're watching us via YouTube, you get to see both John and I. If you're tuning in via Facebook, you only get to hear John's beautiful voice and see my ugly face. We're happy to have you with us. Leave a question in the live YouTube chat, in the live Facebook comments. You can get to us on Twitter via email, call or text 949-542-6241. We'll try and get you on the air if you're so inclined. Otherwise, we've got more questions to get to. We'll be here for a few more minutes to start your Bengals weekend off correctly. And if you're new to our podcast, you can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. You can get it on Megaphone. All of our stuff is on CincyJungle.com. And then you can also get our stuff on our YouTube channel. We've had some recent additions to our podcast channel as well as to our YouTube channel. Matt Minnick's Chalk Talk, where he does some film breakdowns, is a new addition, and that's been a great addition to our lineup, as well as some of you are very familiar with Ace Boogie and Hude Zim. Their Orange is the New Black Bengals podcast. That audio is on all of our channels, as is the Sorry If I Spit When I Speak podcast by Dr. Hoji Smoji and Daddy O McDuck. So check all of that stuff out, as well as our content, how you can. There was a text, regular listener, Dan from Tennessee.
That's a good one.
Yes, it's a good one. It's kind of a – it seems like a question that's innocent, but it's phrased with a little jab. How unusual is it to draft 11 players and have no starters by week 6? And how big of an indictment of this is it on Duke Tobin? So I'll let you start that off, John.
Well, for starters, they have one starter in Michael Jordan, even though right. He's not starting now. He was a starter. He started 4 games. And the other regular starter that they had was Damian Willis, and he was also benched. So, yeah, but at this point in time, they are an 0-5 team with no rookie starters, which is pretty much the opposite of what you would expect, because if – you have 11 draft picks and none of them are starting, you know, you would give them the benefit of the doubt to assume that this is a very deep team. This is a very good team. This is a team that isn't having to rely on rookies. Well, they are relying on rookies. It's just that the rookies aren't very good. Looking at the rest of the league right now, like there's a couple teams. I think Chicago is one where they only have one rookie starter and a rookie running back, David Montgomery. Looking at Buffalo, they have about 3. Houston has about 2, and Titus Howard and Lonnie Johnson. Indianapolis has a lot. So, it really varies, I think, from good teams and bad teams or how reliant they are on rookies. But with the Bengals-specific case, when you're not very talented and you didn't add a bunch of veterans in the offseason, when most of your roster turnover was with your draft class and they are not making an impact, that is really pretty much indicative of a bad team. So, in terms of drafting 11 players and not having any of them start by the middle of the season, that is bad. And it should be an indictment on Duke Tobin.
Yeah, I've said this a couple of times. I think we both said it on our show. I mean, going 6 players deep essentially into your draft class to finally find a starter and who, like you mentioned, has now been benched in Michael Jordan, that's not ideal. That's not ideal for a team that was starving for immediate impact players. That's not ideal for a new head coach, new coaching staff that wanted to usher in a great new class to help keep this team competitive and maybe make one of those unlikely playoff pushes in his inaugural year. That's not ideal. And you and I talked about this months and months ago, John, about, you know, I think going into that week and they had 11 or 12 picks. Do you really think that this is a roster? Well, now we look at it and we say, yeah, 11 or 12 pick guys could make this roster. But at the time, why not package at least a couple of those things, move up on, you don't necessarily need to move up on day 1, but you could move up in day 2. You all of a sudden get a Cody Ford, a Dalton Risner, one of these guys that you package some of those later picks, move up into the second round to get additional help on the offensive line. And boy, wouldn't you need that right now? To me, the Bengals have recently valued quantity over quality in the draft. I think they felt that what they did in 2010 through 2012 or 2013 in those classes where they really kind of built that playoff run, they got overconfident in themselves and their abilities to find these players late. And not only have they not done that, but they haven't done well in the early rounds. So, to me, I think you need to really identify some of these players you really, really covet and at positions that you really, really need, and you make moves to go up and get these guys if you need to. You can't wait for these guys to fall on your lap, because that just simply doesn't always happen. This last year, they waited in the second round, and Drew Lock went in front of them. Dalton Risner went in front of them. I mean, they sat back, and they saw these guys that could have helped them this year or in 2020, and that hurt them. So Heck, you could even argue Devin Bush, right? That they got leapfrogged there by the Steelers. So, you know, it's very surprising that they can't find a starter in their class. But, you know, hopefully now you got to evaluate it and say, you know, these are guys that are maybe going to help 2020 and beyond. Not ideal for 2019, though. let's kind of transition a little bit, John. One of our, unfortunately, we seem to be continually missing this listener. He leaves us voicemails after our recordings. Robert Lacey, basically just kind of talking about this week. He said he felt pretty good about the Bengals matchup against the Ravens. How do we feel about it? I do not feel good, especially with the injury report that came out Friday afternoon. Normally, the Bengals have done well in recent years against the Ravens. So normally I'd say, yeah, they've got a pretty good shot. But no A.J. Green, no Cordy Glenn, no Carlos Dunlap, no Ryan Glasgow. This could get ugly.
Yeah, and like the one thing that the Bengals have going for them is that as bad as their defense is, the Ravens' defense is just about as bad. And I think officially, Jimmy Smith is not going to play the cornerback. Mark Andrews, the tight end, is not going to play. Marquise Brown, the wide receiver, is not going to play. And Patrick Onwuesar, the linebacker, is not going to play. So those are all four key inactives for the Ravens, and that will give the Bengals some opportunities to exploit newfound weaknesses there. Both Brown and Andrews not playing is going to make it a lot harder for Lamar Jackson to really push the ball down the field. Keeping the ball in front of the Bengals defense is what they want. They don't want, you know, those playmakers to get over the top with them. And on the defensive side of the ball, like this is the defense that the Bengals can exploit, but it really is all dependent on how they can involve Tyler Boyd, because he's really their only receiver that they're willing to use that can make an impact in this game. So there's two bad defenses, but the Bengals offense is so inept that the Ravens offense could basically take this game over, even with the injuries that they have. There is a chance, because of the injuries that both teams are dealing with, to make this game a little bit more close, but ultimately it's going to come down to if Andy Dalton can outplay Lamar Jackson. And right now, Lamar Jackson's been struggling, but he's still been the better quarterback this year. And Andy Dalton has proven that he cannot play consistent even against bad defenses. So this is still definitely in the Ravens' favor, but these injuries have probably made it a little bit more closer than it could be.
Yep. This is kind of a broad one. I think you've got maybe something you're going to pull out of the YouTube or something, John, but this is kind of a broad one. I think from all the mediums that we're fielding questions from, there's different versions of this question. I know you've received it on Twitter, as have I, as has Cincy Jungle. Basically all things AJ Green, right? The Bengals came out earlier this week. I think it was Thursday that they said, you know, we're not, Zach Taylor was pretty emphatic that they're not trading him. AJ Green came back to practice this week. So kind of a lot of news surrounding him after his injury, like Glenn's, has lingered on longer than a lot of people thought. What's your take on things in terms of AJ Green, his future? I saw a question from Robert Rourke in the live Facebook chat. Basically, why did they keep Green on the active roster all season when they could have done IR return now that we're 6 weeks in? A lot of what ifs, a lot of moving parts. I don't know if you want to just kind of come at this AJ Green situation from a number of different angles.
So my thing with AJ is that it would be nice to have picks for a guy like AJ Green who can get you maybe like a high second round pick, maybe another pick on day two as well, because that would in turn progress the inevitable rebuild a lot quicker. But my main concern is how are they going to replace Andy Dalton, basically? And if keeping AJ on a long-term deal and keeping him for this season doesn't provide a roadblock in getting the quarterback to replace Dalton, I don't think it's that much of a problem that we really need to be discussing. Obviously, in a rebuild, you would want as much draft capital as possible. You would want as much cap space as possible. But this was a deal that the Bengals were planning on doing, and had AJ Green not gotten hurt, we probably wouldn't even be talking about this because he would be under contract for the next 4 years or so. But I don't think there's that big of an issue of holding on to AJ, because they're going to overvalue him. They're always going to overvalue their veterans, even when the team stinks. So they're going to want an offer to be blown away with and something that they cannot refuse. And they're so confident that they're not going to get that, that they've already said, yeah, we're not trading that guy. So that's fine. That's the stance you want to make. Just, you know, see when he gets healthy and see what he can do for you this year. But don't do an Andrew Whitworth, basically. Don't say that you're committed to him now and you know, freeze on the negotiation table in March and watch him go to someplace else, and then hang your hats on a third round or fourth round compensatory pick in 2021, because that doesn't help anything in the situation. If you're, if the plan is to re-sign Green, then make sure you get that done before it's too late. And if not, then definitely lower your value price on AJ Green right now and try to trade him before week eight. Just do one of the two. Don't let him walk at the end of this year after you said you're not going to trade him, because that would just be the colossal mistake that this team has been prone to making in the past.
Totally, totally agree. I do not think AJ Green will be traded, because I've said, I think I mentioned it on the post-game reactions after the Cardinals game, he's not forcing his way out of here, and that's usually the way guys get traded. Either they're malcontents, they badmouth the organization, they say they want out, they say they want astronomical money that the team won't pay, maybe a combination of those things. I mean, you look back to Dylan, you look back to Pickens, you look back, I mean, Carson Palmer, these guys force their way out, right? Chad Johnson was traded, but if you remember, he was kind of a malcontent towards the end of his, at the end of 2010 and into that offseason as well. That relationship with he and Lewis was kind of souring. So, I mean, these are, it's kind of been a forced hand type of thing when guys are traded. AJ Green has said he wants to stay in Cincinnati. AJ Green has said he wants a long-term deal. He wants to retire a Bengal. He doesn't want to go anywhere. All of that stuff, whether he actually means it or not, I'm taking him at his word, but he has made it known he wants to be a Bengal. So to me, that's usually a sign of a guy that is not going anywhere, because Brown will honor his loyalty. He loves the skill position guys. I think he's going to stay. I want to echo what you're saying, John, and I don't want to beat the dead horse here, but it would be a crazy big mistake if the Bengals, if they do this rental thing for this year, they bring him back, they let him play this year, and then they don't re-sign him. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it takes a franchise tag next year and you pay more than what you think for 1 year, if you're getting a new quarterback next year and your plan is to hang on to AJ Green, or you don't want to trade AJ Green for capital, then you need to make sure that AJ Green is going to be here and be a guy that's going to contribute to the Bengals and help the development of a new young quarterback. We've got a call on the line. We're going to take that in just a second here. This is the Orange and Black Insider. Who's this?
Hey, this is Terrell.
Terrell, been a long time, bud. How you doing?
Yeah, all right. I've been keeping an eye on all of y'all and everything. Just been busy, you know. But been wanted to tell you guys, though, like, even before all the other games, that this is good. I'm a football fan before I'm a player and a team fan. And this got to be the most scariest, just the most laziest, weakest linebacker core I've ever seen in my life. I'm just saying because they scared to tackle. I mean, that's one thing I wanted to tell y'all, because I've seen high school and college linebackers play harder than that. And on top of that, though, the AJ Green thing, I think he's going to end up being one of like the Andre Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's going to be all right. And I'm trying to match up everything in one. And Zach Taylor, he's turning to a yes man.
Uh-oh.
And what's the other thing I was gonna say? I mean, if we got to trade, we gotta make some type of trade capital on somebody and stockpile some draft picks. And I'm just leave y'all guys with that. And y'all just awesome, and just keep it up, and y'all just keeping us entertained.
Thanks, Terrell. Appreciate it, man. We'll try and address some of that off the air before we get out of here. Good to hear from you. Been a little while. I'll say this about the trade thing. If anything, I think the Bengals will be sellers, not buyers. I mean, you're 0-5 at this point. Would you agree? I mean, I don't think he mentioned trades. I don't think the Bengals are going to go. If they were maybe 2-3, if they were 3-2, you know, maybe then a Trent Williams type of thing may be in the discussion, and, you know, with their offensive line, even then I don't think so. But at this point, if anything, they would be sellers instead of buyers. And I don't even, like I said, I don't even think that's going to happen, because usually it takes someone forcing their way out of Cincinnati for Mike Brown to execute a trade. But linebackers, John, is this effort? Is this talent? Is it, I mean, it's probably both, but what do you think is more the issue in terms of the group? Is it just a lack of talent, or is it poor coaching, a lack of effort? I mean, it's not good.
You can talk about the effort all you want, but there's just bad athletes playing that position right now. When bad athletes are trying their hard, it doesn't look like they're trying that hard because they're just that much slower than everybody else on the team. You know, we had a question coming in from Dan about, you know, why aren't rookies starting? Jermaine Pratt is like their best chance at having a solid contributor as a rookie right now with Jonah Williams hurt. There's no reason really to be playing Preston Brown at this point, besides the fact that you're giving him $5.5 million per year. But you got to get Jermaine Pratt more involved at the linebacker corps because he can provide some life into there. So that's a way to solve that issue, at least to some point, because you have to see if Pratt is an option to worth building around over the next couple of years when you should be rebuilding that position entirely. I think we got a caller coming in.
Yeah, we do have a call coming in. Hey, this is the Orange Black Insider. Who's this?
Hey, Jason Black.
Jason, what's going on, dude?
Hey, not much. What's going on, guys? Hey, great podcast. Great point by John. That was awesome.
Good to Thank you, man.
I really want to say I appreciate the work you guys have done to get everything working. Like, it's cool. I can see your names in the corner now, and the mics and everything all work well.
Nice.
You guys are doing better than the 0-5 Bengals, for sure. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for not making the season feel as 0-5 as it is.
Oh, well.
I called the Bengals today. I'm hosting in Atlanta a fundraiser for cats called Pints for Furs in December.
Okay.
Which has nothing to do with football. But I do want to dress up like a cat. And I called the Bengals and I asked them if I could buy some game worn pants. And they said no. They kind of laughed at me, actually. So if anybody out there has some game worn Bengals pants and a size 30, I will make that purchase. It's for a good cause. It's for cats. And I'll live stream it, too. So you can see me dazzle in pants. Yeah, we got to find things to talk about this year, right? So there we go. Thank you guys for keeping us posted on all the Bengals news throughout the week, and thank you guys for picking with the Bengals and being fans.
Yeah,
well, nice to be on the Titanic with you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. Trying to keep it interesting in an 0-5 year. If we find some people that are willing to donate, what you're looking for there, we will definitely keep you in the loop. On one hand, I can kind of understand the Bengals saying, "Yeah, I don't know," but he said he'd buy them, so I don't. I mean, that's just a little. I mean, even if he said it's a charity, it's just kind of a microcosm of the Bengals front office and ownership. Right. It's not. I mean, what's it cost them to part with a game used pants? Really? I mean, it's just to me, it's just like a no brainer. You got a fan, longtime fan. They're doing a charity thing. Yeah, we'll send you a pair of pants. Who cares? I mean. I don't know. I mean, I guess that opens floodgates for people to have their hands out on all kinds of different things. But to me, it's just a microcosm of what this team hasn't done to the community.
You would hate to set a precedent of being charitable. So good on the Bengals for keeping that stigma going.
Yeah, God forbid, right? This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. He's John Sheeran. I'm Anthony Cazenza, and this podcast is brought to you by CincyJungle.com. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Hopefully we're getting your weekend started off correctly. We're going to get out of here. We went a little longer than expected, but it was good to hear from so many of you via different platforms, calls, texts, emails, the chat rooms, all that kind of stuff. So appreciate your feedback. You can get this show if you were unable to join us live, and you weren't able to submit a question, you're always welcome to get to us during the week or weekends or whatever. Shoot us some questions, comments, and we try to read those either on our weekly episode or our listener questions episode. But you can also get this show on iTunes, on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. You can get it on Megaphone. You can get it on CincyJungle.com and, of course, our YouTube channel, along with a number of different programs that the Cincy Jungle podcast channel is now offering. John, you've got a wedding rehearsal to get to, my friend. Anything else you want to add before we get out of here and you have a hopefully an adult beverage filled weekend?
Yeah. So if you're already trying to start scout quarterbacks, I think Tua plays the Texas A&M Aggies and Joe Burrow plays the Florida Gators this weekend. I will not be able to watch those games because I will be at a wedding. But definitely give me a nice scouting report for next week, you guys.
Yeah, and John, I see that you casually omitted a non-SEC quarterback prospect in that list.
Oh, you mean Blaine Gabbert?
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert West. Who is Oregon playing this weekend?
I have no idea.
I think it's Colorado, maybe. So Justin Herbert is also out there for those who are watching. I will say those are probably the three, I think, you know, that Bengals fans should be definitely keeping an eye on. Obviously, Fromm in Georgia and Eason in Washington are two other guys that may be intriguing. But, you know, the big three, two of which.
Jalen Hurts, too.
Yeah, I guess Hurts. Yeah. Exciting player. I don't know about NFL level, but some people may talk about it.
You know, we're 6 months out.
I know. Well, thanks, John. Enjoy your weekend. Appreciate you making time. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.